today's game. This is NFL Pregame with Jared Stillman and former NFL wide receivers Derek Mason and Chris Sanders. NFL Pregame is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and the Beast Unleashed. NFL Pregame starts now on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Live from Teddy's Tavern downtown, it is the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And of course, streaming live streaming live 102.5 The Game app. With me, I've got former Titans receiver Chris Sanders.
What's up, baby? How you doing, man? You doing all right?
I'm excited for a little Titans and Chargers. Yes, I got former Titans wide receiver Derek Mason with me today.
What's going on? Home game, finally. Finally got a home game. Let's see what these Titans do today.
Let's go.
Titans are 0-1 this season. They've lost 8 in a row dating back to last year. They have got to get off the schneid. Chris Sanders, yes. A big opportunity today against the 0-1 Chargers.
I mean, they have to. I mean, the thing about it is you have, 8 losses in a row and you don't want to have 9. You got to get the bad taste out of your mouth. And, you know, you look at last week, you look at Tannehill struggling, you look at the offensive line struggling. They got to figure out a way to put together a plea game. And just listening to Derrick Henry last week, he said a quote like this. He said, we need 11 guys doing their job. So if 11 guys can do their job from the offensive line to the coaches, everybody just stand on the same page, I think the Tennessee Titans can do it. But on the other hand of that is they need to find some linemen. I mean, I know Skoronski's hurt. I don't know what the situation with that is. But they got to figure out this line situation so Tannehill can make some plays downfield.
Derek, what do you make of the fact that the Titans have lost 8 in a row when we go back to last season?
I try not to let there be any carryover. Last year's team was last year. We know exactly why they went on a 7-game losing streak toward the end of the season, because they were decimated. Offensively, defensively, the quarterback wasn't playing. Then you had a rookie who shouldn't have been out there. He was playing. This team this year is totally different. They still have some of the same problems, but they're healthy. So I'm not going to attach last year's 7-game losing streak to, this year's one, loss in the opening season. They had their opportunities. They blew them. It looked like a better team, but they didn't, go out there and orchestrate the offense. And take advantage of the opportunities that were given to them offensively last week. So you hope that they can do it this week. If they don't do it this week, it's going to be a long, long day for those Titans.
Yeah, it's kind of like the same song like last year. You know, the things that they struggle with. Number one, third down, the quarterback situation. Yeah, you're playing good defense. But at the end of the day, they have to make sure they put a complete game because, when you start losing games after games, it starts to become a middle thing. I mean, I'm going to give you a perfect example. I coached for Montgomery Bell Academy, and we lost 4 games in a row, and then we come and win one. But you should have saw the emotion on the players' face.
Was it bad coaching?
Nice one. You set yourself up for that one.
Is that all you?
go ahead.
That's good. But after the game, we were so emotionally drained because we got beat up those first 4 weeks. And the reason why I said could it be a mental thing, because if you're playing well on defense but you still can't figure out a way to win, then that's where it becomes emotional.
Well, when it comes to is it a mental thing, I think about the quarterback on Sunday.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Because I thought that he got off to a bad start. I thought he got hit early in the game on Sunday against the Saints. And I feel like that affected him throughout the entire game. Whether it's, I think that he's having a hard time trusting his offensive line. I think he's having a hard time trusting his receivers. And then at the end of the game against the Saints, Derek, I think he had a hard time trusting himself.
I hope that's not the case, but you just never know.
What'd your eyes tell you, though?
My eyes told me that, at the end – that I think those misses that he had, I think they bothered him because I think he understood that this game is close because of the opportunities that I didn't take advantage of as a quarterback. And I think sometimes when you're in that space, you tend to get a little tense. Mm-hmm. You tend to, sort of try to go outside of who you are as a player. And, again, I thought Ryan had some good moments, but – like games before that we've seen when he's played bad,
yep.
those bad moments overshadow any good moments that he had, because those bad moments that he has, they multiply. It's not like it's just one. It ends up being one, then two, then three. And not only did he throw interceptions, but he missed open guys last week.
Yeah, and I agree with you too, Derek. And I think too is I think mentally I don't think he's over that injury. I mean, watch when he runs into Hubbard. I mean, he's kind of like tiptoeing because I think he doesn't want to get hurt, because last year he hurt his ankle. So, you know, I know he doesn't trust his offensive line. He's not going to come out and say it, but when you're consistently getting hit in the face, you're consistently can't go through your reads, it just makes you antsy in the pocket. Look at what he's doing throughout the whole game. He can't even go through his progression. He's staring down one guy because he feels that he's uncomfortable in the pocket.
Well, this could be this is possibly the problem, and it may be too early to say this, but – how would you feel if your offensive line, like the part that's it's supposed to protect you, they're not doing their job? 2 years in a row, they draft quarterbacks, and you are on the last day of your contract.
Yeah.
It's like
it's a good point.
You're out there, and you know that this is it. Possibly this is it for you. So a lot of guys sort of get into that I don't want to get injured mode. Let me make sure I protect myself first and then do what I need to do.
Yeah, but what's the going rate for a 36-year-old quarterback who's not good?
Still 20 million.
Yep.
I mean,
$25 million. Hey, give it to me. I'll take it.
I think Tannehill's like headed the route. Like, and I don't think that, you know, Sunday is going to be what Tannehill is this season.
No, I don't.
But, I mean, that performance, like, that – if you keep playing like that at the end of the year, nobody in this league is going to want you. Yeah. Just like nobody wants Carson Wentz right now. Nobody wanted Matt Ryan after last year with the Colts. I mean, like, to your point about – I think the bigger thing for me when it comes to Tannehill is the idea that imagine being in his shoes, and for the last 3 years the offensive line continues to get worse and worse, and you got a lot of question marks there. And, you know, the receivers, they take away your guy in A.J. Brown. And so you're trying to make DeAndre Hopkins your guy, but you only have a training camp of experience with him. And that, I think, is the bigger issue. You know, his trust and his belief in this stuff. And going back to the putting myself in his shoes and Chris talking about the injury last year, I mean, he got hit early in the game. And I believe that Tannehill has the memories of last season and how much he got hit and the ankle injuries and all of that stuff still in his head. And I think that contributed him to playing scared on Sunday.
I hope it did. Honestly, I really hope it did because, you know, as an athlete, you have to have a short-term memory. And if he's still holding on or if it's still that residual effect of the injury is him getting sort of skittish every time he gets hit, then he doesn't need to be the quarterback of this team, because he know what the line is. It's not his fault. I get it. But he know what type of offensive line he has. So that's why him and Tim Kelly, they need to be on page as far as what they want to do. It should be a lot of quick game and a lot of play action. Shouldn't be no five-step drops, definitely not a seven-step drop. I don't even think people do seven-step drops anymore. But he shouldn't have to do anything that causes him to hold the ball too long.
You know, and the way you overcome that, I'm not saying he's fearful, but the way you overcome all that stuff is they needed to play in the preseason. I mean, if you look at in 7-on-7 and OTAs and all that stuff, he's not getting hit, so he can sit in the pocket and practice, you know, go through his progression, because he knows he's not going to get hit in the mustache. So now you get in the game, the first game against the Saints, you feel pressure. You feel guys coming off the edge. You got somebody in your face, and when you're not confident in your offensive line, you're not confident in your skill level, you're going to be skittish because you're not going through the live bullets because you don't do it in preseason.
Are you a believer that the preseason affected them, the lack of preseason?
With this team, this particular team, yeah, because you got a lot of new faces on this team.
Here's my thing. You guys would know this way better than me, so it's a question for both of you. How many days a year when you played in the NFL, Chris, did you train to play football?
I mean, at least more than half.
I mean, so we're talking about, what, 280 of 360 days you probably were working out to play football? I just don't think that you can really get any better at football by not playing football. And so I feel like that's the case with every skill,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why, you know, spring training in baseball, the best players still pitch and hit and everything else so that they're in shape and ready to play football. When you don't play in the preseason, that's not football. Like, you know, we've been at training camp. That's not football. When you played receiver, yeah, they probably pop you some at training camp, but they're not taking you to the ground.
No.
They're not. That's not football. And so I think that, you know, the Titans' fear of getting the quarterback hurt, which I understand, outweighed the need that they thought they had to play actual football. And I think going forward, they're probably going to reverse that decision. And I think we'll see the starters play in the preseason.
Yeah, but look at Philadelphia Eagles. They went to the Super Bowl last year. They're not playing good football. I mean, even
did you hear what the coach said, though?
What did he say?
So he didn't play the starters in the preseason either. And then after the first game, he said that he's going to reevaluate
and wish that
he had played them in the preseason.
Because your timing's off. You're not. It's not realistic because guys are coming off the edge full speed. And 7-on-7, they can't touch you. They'll run and tap your shoulder. But you got to put them in position and have game situations for you to be successful.
What did you think of Tannehill trying to force the ball to DeAndre Hopkins as much as he did last week?
I just think it threw the offense off. You know, you got to understand that, especially with young guys, that you can't allow a receiver, especially a young receiver, to float around and not feel like he's a part of the offense. If he floats around and feels like he's not part of the offense, then it's going to take a minute to get him reeled back in. Guys like Treylon Burks, Chigakonkwo, you gotta target them early. It doesn't have to be five in a row. But get a hitch in their hand. Get a slant in their hair. Get them something where they're catching the ball, squaring up, getting upfield, and getting tackled. When the only touch in the game for the first half or the first quarter was a reverse, that's not helping anybody. That's not helping those other guys. Now, those other guys are floating while DeAndre Hopkins he's getting it into the groove of the game. But when I try to come back to the other guys in the second quarter or the third quarter or the fourth quarter, now they're not in tune to what's going on. So to me, target DeAndre Hopkins. I'm not saying don't target him, but you got to understand, teams know where you want to throw the ball.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Teams understand that. So the Titans offense operates better when they're hitting multiple people. They don't operate when they're hitting just one guy. Mm-hmm. Even when A.J. was here, they spread the ball around. But A.J. was their big play guy, and they got him the ball when they needed to. It just seemed like that first game, Ryan Tannehill, maybe because he didn't trust the offensive line, it was like he was purposely targeting DeAndre Hopkins to a point where he was missing other guys that were wide open.
Well, you look at the tape. His head was pointed in the direction of DeAndre the entire time.
Yeah. So, I think Tim Kelly, I hope Tim Kelly talked with him and say, listen, I understand getting D-Hop the ball, but if we want to have a offense that's consistent, we got to – not necessarily everybody needs to get the same amount of targets, but we have to distribute the ball in a way where the defense is always constantly wondering who we're throwing the ball to. Look at all the good offenses, whether it was the New England offense back in the day, Kansas City's offense, Buffalo, Miami, they distribute the ball to everybody.
Sure.
Some people may get more catches, but they distribute it. Why? Because it keeps the defense off balance.
Yeah, the Dolphins last week throwing touchdowns to River Craycraft.
They don't care.
Hey, as long as you make the play.
I'm throwing it.
But you know who's going to be the most frustrated person on the team is Chig. And the reason why I say it is because with your two tackles struggling, they're going to have to play a 12 personnel. So I think Chig is not even probably going to see any pass today because he's got to stand and block.
We'll get to the four biggest topics surrounding today's game. We'll do that coming up next. Again, the pregame show for all the home broadcasts this year will be live right here at Teddy's Tavern, conveniently located across the street from Bridgestone Arena from that front entrance of the arena. Teddy's is the perfect spot to grab drinks and a quick bite before and after Preds games, concerts, and other events. Just steps from the Ryman and Bridgestone Arena and a couple of blocks away from the pedestrian bridge. It's actually an easy walk from the bridge. I parked at the stadium, walked over before the show. And come try the specialty Titans-themed cocktails during brunch, including the T-Rack Sack and Titan Water, as well as 2-for-1 mimosas and Bloody Marys until 2 o'clock. Come catch the Titans taking on the Chargers and all other games at Teddy's Tavern from the second floor lounge and rooftop. It's the pregame show live from Teddy's Tavern on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Live out at Teddy's Tavern. Want to give a shout-out to Alan Franklin for stopping
Alan.
By here. Big listener stopping out here at Teddy's Tavern.
And he gave me a card of myself. I like it.
Do you like it?
Yeah, hey, I do. Hey, I've never seen
it. You want to sign the card of yourself?
I've never seen it.
That I brought this Sharpie because somebody asked me to sign those football, or have you two sign that football. They apparently didn't want my autograph on it.
I want your autograph, man.
There you go. All right, let's hit the big four stories of today's Titans and Chargers game. And, of course, we start at the top, moving the chains with first down. DeAndre Hopkins is a go. He did not practice this week with an ankle injury. It looks to be the football doctors on the last play of the game against the Saints, a mild ankle sprain for DeAndre. A lot of people thought that he'd be out for a while, so the fact that he's going to play is probably a good sign, but he probably isn't going to be 100%. Of course, that was reported by Jordan Schultz that DeAndre Hopkins was going to be able to give it a go today. Derek, what do we think about D-Hop with a bad ankle?
I didn't know when it popped up on the injury report, I was like, when did he get injured?
I know.
You know, like I watched the game twice and I didn't see him get injured.
Yeah.
But then I was reminded the last play of the last series, when he, you know, caught the 4 or 5 yard pass, he went back to the sideline and then he laid down and started messing with his ankle. I'm wondering, had they got another series, would he have then went back out there? I don't know what to make of this. I really don't, because, you know, I don't know the extent of an ankle injury. And it will hold you out of practice. But, you know, they need those valuable reps with D-Hop and Ryan Tannehill. There were several situations where those two just didn't seem like they're on the same page in regards to, you know, where I want to place the ball, where I think you should be wide receiver. So I don't know what to make of this. I hope this is not a reoccurring thing where every little injury he has during the game, mm-hmm. he ends up missing some of practice during the week, because this offense isn't going to get better if indeed, you know, that is continuing to happen, because now I can't build that rapport with the guy that we brought in to help, you know, bolster this receiving core.
You know, I agree with you, Derek. I just don't hope it becomes a problem, because that's the situation that they had in Arizona. I think it was the last 2 or 3 games he sat out. So I just think that, you know, he's got to be in the game. He's got to practice. I understand if you have a serious injury, but if you look at last week, a little bit of their timing was off when they threw the interception. When he tried to throw on the back shoulder, you know, DeAndre Hopkins was on top of the receiver and he threw it behind him. So they need to have the timing. They need to practice, because they're a little off right now, and they have to have that practice.
I think too, the other thing that's tough is if DeAndre's not 100%, that is a concern, because while athleticism is not his game.
Right.
I mean, he still has to, as every receiver does, get open and catch the ball.
Yeah, because as a receiver, you got to start and stop, and you got to change directions. Because if you have an ankle, it's hard to play with an ankle, because you got to change direction, you got to burst off the cut, you got to do those things. But if this is a recurring thing that he's consistently sitting out, he's consistently sitting out of practice, is it the same situation that he had in Arizona, that the last two games he sat out because of injury? I don't want it to become a problem. I don't want it to become a distraction. But if it keeps going like this, I think it's going to become a distraction.
That takes us to second down. What is up with the Chargers? I can look at that team and I can say, you know, Justin Herbert and Austin Eckler, who's going to be out of this game. He's a big-time player. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. They drafted Quentin Johnston in the first round. They've got Rashawn Slater, a Pro Bowl left tackle. Mm-hmm. They've got Joey Bosa on defense, Khalil Mack on defense, Jerwin James on defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got really good players.
Yep.
And yet the Chargers just seem to find a way to keep losing. What do we make of it?
I mean, just looking at that situation, it's kind of like the Tannehill. Is Herbert is consistently getting hit. I mean, when your quarterback is consistently getting hit, you're going to make those mistakes. I mean, it's you can have a lot of talent. You can have all the great wide receivers. You can have a great defense. But if you're not having those explosive plays and having turnovers, you're going to have a situation like you have with the Tennessee Titans. So, yeah, they have talent. They have a lot of guys that you actually name. But at the end of the day, if your quarterback is not playing at a high level, it just distracts everything.
Derek, what do you make of the Chargers? And what do you make of Herbert specifically?
I think Herbert's a good quarterback. I think he's better than good. He has the potential to be an elite quarterback. Hopefully, he and Kellen Moore, that combination, can sort of get that out of him. We saw what Kellen Moore was able to do with the Dallas Cowboys. That team, you know, when he was the coordinator, they always, I believe, they were ranked as a top 10 offense when he was running it. So you know he understands how to call plays, especially when he has talent. And the Chargers have a lot of talent. I mean, they're a big team. I don't know if they're as physical on offense or defense, but they're a big team. I don't understand why, because every year, and correct me if I'm wrong, fellas, every year since Phillip Rivers got there, it's like this is their year. This is the Chargers' year.
Oh, yeah. They always have great players.
Exactly. And then they never do it for what – it's either injuries. Mm-hmm. Injuries pretty much derail that team each and every year.
But think about all those years they had Tomlinson and Gates, and it was like, oh, God, you know, Tomlinson, Gates, Vincent Jackson, they light up the
scoreboard. But guys will get injured.
Sean Merriman, and, like, they have had – this isn't the team – that came in here in 1998 and played you guys the first game at Vanderbilt Stadium with Ryan Leaf at quarterback.
Yes.
Wow.
But this is a team.
And you guys lost, by the way. Easy. I just wanted you guys to know that.
But this is a team, for whatever reason, they have immense talent offensively and defensively. But for whatever reason, they can't put it together on both sides at the same time. Sometimes the offense is flying high and the defense still gives up 30 points, as we saw last week against Miami. Sometimes the defense is playing well and then the offense is not doing their job. Not too many times the offense, defense, and special teams are all on the same plane in regards to how they're playing that particular day, because they have the talent. They have everything that you would want as an organization. But they just have not, well, for whatever reason, they have not been able to put it together. And they're hoping Kellen Moore is able to, you know, pull some more out of Justin Herbert, where he can be a Patrick Mahomes, where he can just – he doesn't need much to take over a game.
You know, I think that today, I think that their offense is going to really struggle because their number one guy is out, Austin Eckler. I mean, last week he had like 16, you know, carries for 117. And I know they passed the ball a lot. I know they want to throw the ball downfield. But if you don't have a running game, the defense is going to tee off and have a couple of sacks like they had last week against Miami.
That takes us to third down. Third down, Titans defense gets after Derek Carr last week. The defensive line was great. Arden Key was great. Denico Autry was great. But when it counted the most, the Titans defense could not get the clutch stop. Yeah. And injuries again for Christian Fulton and Amani Hooker. How do we feel about the Titan defense right now, Derek Mason?
It's been like a broken record for me. I was worried about this secondary before the season started. This was one of my question marks for the for this team. We knew that the offensive line was a huge question mark. We knew that the playmakers on offense was a question mark. But then we got D-Hop, so that question sort of went away. It was, how do we, you know, get all of these guys the ball? How do we, you know, get this offense to being consistent in such a short period of time? But that secondary has always been, you know, a part of this team where I never felt good about. Why? Because they're always and often injured. Yeah. This team was one of the worst pass defenses in the National Football League. How can you be that bad, but your D-line is so good? I don't understand that. Usually a really good defensive line helps a secondary that may be a little hampered by just the sheer, you know, numbers out there or the talent out there. But even with a wrecking ball of a defensive line. Mm. This secondary is still bad.
Yeah,
I don't get it. So it's this is a big concern to me moving forward. Fulton's out. Hooker is not playing because of concussion reasons. But I mean, you can't rely on Fulton to be out there, you know, week in and week out because of this hamstring. You know, I said this week, show me a person that said I used to have hamstring issues when they always had chronic hamstring issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me somebody that said, well, I used to have hamstring issues. It doesn't happen.
Nope.
Once you have hamstring issues,
it's over.
It's going to be like that for your career. Why it happens, I don't know.
You know, I agree 100%. I mean, I'm concerned about Fulton. You know, he talked about it all season that he wanted to be a shutdown corner. He even went to the Minnesota Vikings camp and said, I want to go against the best wide receiver. I mean, we're going to the best wide receiver, as in Jefferson. But if you're not available on the field, how can you cover a receiver because you're consistently hurt? And the thing about it is when he's out there, sometimes I see splash plays. I don't see a dominant corner. He's got to come up and challenge the receiver. If you look at last week, he gave up a lot of explosive plays. I'm not concerned about the defense. I'm not concerned about Simmons, Autry, Weaver, Archie. I'm not concerned about that front. But that back end, man, they're giving up explosive plays. Last week they gave eight passes to 112 to Olave. You got Shaheed, they had 5 for 89. Thomas, 5 for 61. Guys are making play in the perimeter, and I don't think those guys can cover those wide receivers.
And that takes us to our fourth and final down. Fourth down. How about the kicker last week, Nick Foles? I mean, he put him right down the pipe, 5 for 5. For Nick Folk, including a 50-yarder off the bat. Should all of the anxiety that sat within this delicate heart be alleviated?
It's still a little bit anxiety. I still got a little bit, though. I mean, a little bit. The reason why I feel a little bit anxiety is because there were 5 field goals and not touchdowns. That's what I'm concerned about. I mean, I understand he did a great job by kicking, but I want to see him in a pressure situation where it's 3 seconds on the clock and you got to make a 52-yarder. If he does that, then the anxiety will go away. But other than that, if you're making 45-yarders, 46-yarders, that's great. But when the pressure's on, can he handle that?
I'm not worried about the kicker, at least not yet. Let's just say that. He did what he was supposed to do. Wherever they lined it up, he kicked it and hit it right through the uprights. He didn't seem nervous. He seemed like, hey, listen, this is my job to keep.
Give me that.
And, you know, yes, I would love touchdowns instead of field goals, but if I can, if he continues to be a consistent kicker, then I'll take him because we're going to need him. We're going to need him to kick field goals because it seems like this Titans team is not going to score a lot of points.
That being said, they did get a punt blocked last week.
Yeah.
Special teams.
That's your boy, though.
No, you can blame that
on your boy, Aukerman. Yeah.
You can blame that on Aukerman. Hey. I'm always told that we can't blame things on Aukerman.
I want to ask you.
You can blame that on Aukerman.
Do you like him?
Aukerman?
Yeah.
I don't know him.
I mean, just what he does on the field. I mean, what he does as a coach. Why?
Because the special teams are perpetually terrible, and that punt block is an example.
But is that effort or is that coaching?
I mean, I think they're trying to not let him block the punt.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it's all about scheme.
That's what I'm saying.
This is what the old GM used to always say. Either you're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. At this point, it's been 6 bad years. I'm ready to move on. It's like a presidency that I've never ran. There you go. That's Moving the Chains. Coming up next, we take a look at the Titans offense. We go inside the playbook, live from Teddy's Tavern. Here, right across the street from Bridgestone Arena, downtown Nashville, ahead of the Titans and the Chargers, it's the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. All right, let's go inside the playbook here on the program live at Teddy's Tavern. Let's start with Chris Sanders.
What up?
Offensively, the Titans, you brought up 5 field goals.
Yes.
No touchdowns. Derrick Henry ran the ball well in the first half.
Didn't
run it much in the second half. And the Titans threw the ball way too many times
for
a one-point game. So let's start with a game plan against the Chargers, who have Joey Bosa, who is questionable. We'll find out within the hour if he's going to play. But also big linebacker / safety, Derwin James. I mean, he is a true hybrid guy.
Absolutely.
And, of course, they still got Khalil Mack and J.C. Jackson at corner. What's your plan?
Man, I think that you made some key points. We're talking about scoring the red zone. Tannehill needs to play well. Offensive line, receivers need to get involved. But here's the thing that the Tennessee Titans need to do. They need to be great on third down. They have to be. That last week they were 2-for-12. They were terrible on third down. They got to convert, you know, some third down to keep that potent offense from the Los Angeles Chargers. So if they can do that, you know, Tannehill plays well. Don't give up the ball. Don't throw three interceptions. The offensive line, we don't know who's going to be playing the offensive line. It's going to be Levin or it's going to be whoever it is. But I think the Tennessee Titans definitely need to convert third downs.
Derek?
I mean,
you don't sound very optimistic over here.
I mean, I am not to say that I'm not optimistic about
you. Just started by saying, well, look, and then you dropped your head like,
well, it doesn't mean that I'm not optimistic.
It's like when
about
you ask Vrabel a question like, Mike, what's wrong with the offense?
do we get about 30 minutes, 40 minutes? No,
we just need to get the ball and try to score points.
I'm optimistic about this team. But there are things that, you know, that needs to get fixed. But I don't know how long they have to fix it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is just a quick fix for this team. The offensive line is not a quick fix for this team. This is usually with those guys, it takes weeks after weeks after weeks for them to gel as an offensive line. Identifying their playmakers. They got to do a better job at identifying those playmakers. So there are, you know, there are things that I think they can get better at, but how long is it going to take them to put all of this together? Is it going to be a little bit too late where they're already out of, you know, any contention for the playoffs? Because it seems like everyone else sort of has their, you know, Jacksonville seems like they have their offense in line.
Well, we'll see. They go against Kansas City.
They go against Kansas City. But from a defensive standpoint, Kansas City still don't trust them from a defensive standpoint. Yep. It just seems like other teams know exactly what they want to do, even in their own division. Houston and Indianapolis, they know what they want to do. They know they want to run the football and play good defense. They're not going to try to put everything on their quarterback. Well, the Titans are trying to figure this out. Do we stay in this mode of Derrick Henry, or do we try to get out of our comfort zone and push the ball down the field?
Can I answer the question for you?
Probably no.
Derrick Henry. Give the ball to Derrick Henry.
I go back to now, it could be – it's different because back then, you know, Benji, B-Hop, Zach, all those guys were good.
Back in my day when we had a good offensive line.
The offensive line was good. So when Heimerdinger got there, we sort of phased – we were phasing out of Eddie George. Mm-hmm. But Eddie – was dealing with injury as well.
Yeah, Eddie at that point when that transition happened, Eddie was obviously slowed down. Right. Derek, you know, again, right out the gate against the Saints, 5-6-5. But
you can only live with that for so long.
Absolutely.
You got to start – the NFL states that you got to make plays down the field. You got to have a passing attack in this league to win consistently.
Because they can always bring down more people.
Exactly. Yep. And the Titans just don't have that at this particular moment.
But see, this is where I think back to your teams like at their best, where, I mean, Chris was on the field for that reason.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's why you played. Because they couldn't just bring all the safeties down in the box because you'd run by the corner and, you know, you run a play-action pass for Eddie George. Everybody thinks Eddie's getting it. Now Chris is wide open for a touchdown. And the Titans, you know, I still think the best offense is either giving it to Derek or faking it to Derek.
Yeah.
And when they take him off the field on first down, what they're doing is they're, you know, they've now lost the ability to make the defense. I'm not saying they're going to run it every first down, but they've taken the ability away from the defense to have to think he might get the ball.
Yeah.
And that, I think, was a big flaw in the game on Sunday.
But see, here's the problem, though. What's the identity of this Titans team?
It needs to be Derek.
See that? But I mean, I understand it, but the thing about it is, what if they keep loading the box? I mean, I know they did it the past couple of years, but you have an offensive line that is really struggling. So what do you do? I mean, I know, you know, we're talking about all the things they need to do, but what do you do? You know, you got Tim Kelly's going to have what formation is he going to do? 11 personnel, 12 personnel, 21 personnel. He's got to figure out a way to get max protection and get your playmakers the ball. So it's not just on the offensive line, the quarterback. It's on Tim Kelly putting those guys in the right position to figure out the identity of the team.
Yeah, this team, you know, they're at a crossroads in a little bit, in a sense, because I think the success that Derrick Henry has had has sort of caused right now this dilemma of, do we move on from him or do we hang on to him in regards to the identity of our team, not letting him go or mm-hmm. keeping him? Do we try to segue out of this identity that we have with Derrick Henry in the backfield, or do we continue to do what we've been doing? Again, he's a good back, but he's not the same back that he was
yep.
3 or 4 years ago. And I think everybody wants to hold on to that back of 3 or 4 years ago. Now, if he was the back of 3 or 4 years ago, I would say, hey, run them 30 times and let's go.
So I don't think
he's the back
of
that back.
I don't think he's the back of 3 years ago, but I still think that he's the best player on the offense.
Yeah.
He's the most consistent player on the offense.
I think he's the best.
I don't think he's the best player on that offense.
Who's
best? I think he's the most consistent player on that offense. I think, to me, the best player on that offense, and this is why I feel they got to find a way to use him. The best player on that offense can be Treylon Burks.
Why are you looking at me like
that's the best player on that offense. He's the most explosive player on that yeah. offense. They got to find a way to get him the football. Derrick Henry is the most consistent player they have on offense. He used to be undoubtedly the best player on the offense.
Watch this.
But at this point in time, he's the most consistent. The guy that can open up a game for you potentially, Derrick can do it, but consistently, I think, is Treylon Burks. If you find a way to get him the ball, it's going to make Derrick Henry's job a lot easier.
Hey, let me ask you this, Chris, because I said Tajay Spears, and he laughed at me.
So
No. Hold on.
I disagree with about 80% of what you said, but I was so focused on when I said who's the best player, and he said Spears.
No, hold on. Listen to me for a second. I'm not talking about – just like Derrick made a great point. The old Derrick of old is a beast. I mean, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But who, if Tajay Spears is in the game, I know you have Derrick Henry in the game. When somebody gets the ball, who scares you the most?
From a home run hitting
yes.
standpoint, it's the young guy.
That's what I'm saying. See,
because it doesn't yeah. take Jared, it doesn't.
That's
what I see now with Derrick Henry as I saw last year. Again, I think Derrick Henry is still
absolutely
the best runner, like runner of the football. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem with Derrick Henry because of the offensive line. He gets to the holes slower than Tajay Spears do. Tajay Spears doesn't – he needs just a crease because that crease is going to close very quickly. And sometimes Derrick Henry is not going to get through it. Tajay Spears will get through it. When he bounces outside, he gets there quicker than what Derrick Henry does.
Absolutely.
Derrick Henry bounces it to the outside. Two or three people are coming. Are they going to tackle him? I don't know. But when Tajay Spears bounces to the outside, more than likely nobody's going to catch him. Why? Because they don't have the speed to match Tajay Spears. Only thing they got to worry about with Derrick Henry is the stiff arm. If we can get underneath that stiff arm, then more than likely nowadays we can tackle him with one guy. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, you weren't tackling Derrick. You needed about 3 or 4 guys to tackle Derrick Henry. You don't need that anymore.
So here's my thing on Derrick Henry. I think the run, whether it's Derrick of 4 years ago or Derrick today, the run can be stopped if a team decides they're going to dedicate themselves to stopping the run because they can always bring one more than you can block. Mm-hmm. The problem is when A.J. Brown was on this team, there was a threat of if we sell out everything in order to stop Derrick, then what happens? Mm-hmm. That has not been a problem for defenses the last 2 years. In fact, the biggest plays in the passing game on Sunday came from whom? Catching the football.
It was a screenplay from Derrick Henry.
To Derrick Henry.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year when the Titans played the Chargers, Derrick ran the ball for 104, and he was the leading receiver in the game with 54 yards. I think it's everything around Derrick has gotten worse, but I still believe that the best offense they have, they played last year with a backup offensive line and a third-string quarterback on the road at Jacksonville in a gotta-have-it game. Everybody knows he's getting it, and he still ran for 100 yards and gave you a chance to win that game.
But did they win?
I mean, I'm so. What more was he was more was he was supposed to do?
No, what I'm saying
was he supposed to run for 150?
Yes,
my thing is he can run for 150 when AJ Brown and Tannehill are out there, and there's a threat of
Tajay,
a deep pass.
Tajay Spears is a bigger threat than Henry right now.
What I'm saying is this. Just like a passing attack. Yeah, we may throw the ball across the yard, around the yard, and the quarterback may end up with 300 yards. But because we're not balanced, we're not doing the things we're supposed to do from a run standpoint, we're going to end up losing the game because we rely so heavy on throwing the football. Because when you get in the red zone, that shrinks, and throwing the football becomes a lot harder inside, you know, the 10 and the 5, so forth. This team, if they don't find a way from an offensive standpoint to throw the football, Derrick Henry, what Derrick Henry does means nothing.
But that's not Derrick Henry's fault.
Well, I'm not saying it's Derrick Henry's fault. The old Derrick Henry,
yes.
I would say turn around and just give it to him.
The old Derrick Henry had A.J. Brown.
It didn't matter.
The best Derrick Henry that we saw had 2,000-yard receivers, uh-huh. a tight end that had 8 touchdowns, mm-hmm. and an offensive coordinator that was able to distribute the ball evenly, and a quarterback who was confident.
But you know what made it work? Because it's complementary football.
That's it.
If they don't have the passing game, Derrick Henry's not rushing for 2,000.
That's what I'm saying.
If Derrick Henry is not running the ball the way he's supposed
but
to,
that's not
then the
Derrick's
passing.
Fault.
It's not Derrick's fault that they don't have the complementary football around Derrick. This is not a blame game.
Exactly.
I'm not blaming Derrick Henry for anything. You're asking me or asking Chris and I who is the most explosive player
yes.
or the most important player on the offense.
He is. Tajay is.
I'm saying this. I'm not saying Derrick Henry is not important to this offense. I'm saying that if this offense wants to be anything like they were 2 or 3 years ago, then Treylon, they got to find a way to get Treylon Burks involved
now,
in
the
offense.
Yeah.
They
I
have
agree
to.
With that. For
Treylon
sure.
has the most talent on this offense right now.
Yes, well,
but the potential and potential.
Bad word.
I think
it.
They have to take a deep shot early in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, I think yeah. they've got to open the box up for Derek, and I think the guy to do that with is Burks.
But see, how do you take a deep shot when – You, I mean, when
play action, you roll the quarterback out.
Yeah, but if you do a play action, you still. But it ain't that easy, man. The thing about it is, when you got an offensive line that is struggling, now you got your best lineman out, Skoronski. I don't care if you roll out. I don't care if you do a three-step drop. If you get hit in the face, it's going to be hard for you to get those plays downfield.
By the way,
what's that? Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see who broke the story about Skoronski having an appendix issue yesterday?
You?
Was that you?
Uh-huh. All right. Uh-huh. We'll take a look at the other side of the ball. The defense. The Chargers put up 34 against the Dolphins last
Ooh.
Week. What do the Titans do on defense? We'll get to that next. It's the award-winning pregame show live from Teddy's Tavern across the street from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza right here. The pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Good stuff.
All right, let's go inside the playbook on defense. Titans defense gave up 16 points last week against the Saints. Can't be upset about that.
No.
But when it mattered the most, the Titans defense could not get off the field and give the offense a chance to win the game with a field goal at New Orleans. We talked all last week about, man, big plays. We were worried
yeah.
about the big plays, and we were worried about them from Chris Olave and
yes,
Rashid Shaheed, and who had the big plays? Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what did we see from the defense in week one, and what do we think about it, Chris Sanders,
yes,
when
sir.
We're looking at Justin Herbert?
Yep.
Now, Austin Eckler is out, which means mm-hmm. Joshua Kelly is in as the running back for the Chargers. But three receivers, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Quentin Johnston, the rookie out of TCU, two tight ends, Donald Parham and Gerald Everett, that are very athletic. And last week, Arden Key had a bunch of sacks against what was essentially a rookie left tackle. Rayshon Slater at left tackle is a pro bowler for the Chargers. Chris, what happens on defense?
Yeah, I mean, I love what the defense is doing. I mean, I love Simmons, Autry, Weaver, Arden Key. Those guys are playing at a high level. And the one thing I love about them, I love the run defense. You know, last week they gave up 69 yards. They were ferocious. They attacked. They stopped the run. But the thing that I'm kind of concerned about is the back end. We know that Fulton's out, McCrary is in, Byard and Hooker's out. They just can't give up their explosive play. Just like what you talked about earlier, the Chargers have some explosive wide receivers. They got Keenan Allen, they got Mike Williams. So even though the front is going to play physical fast and make tackles, I just don't want to see those explosive plays downfield.
Well, for me, the defense, first and foremost, they got to get off on third down. Mm-hmm. This defense, I think last week, the New Orleans Saints completed 43% of their third down possessions. That's not good for a defense. It's great for an offense, especially for a defense that prides themselves on stopping the run and getting off the field on third down. So, for one, they got to bring that number down tremendously. The second is they gave up over 9 yards per pass play. That can't happen. Mm-hmm. They cannot do that once again. But here's the problem. Fulton is injured. He's not playing. Amani Hooker, not playing. So now you're going to have guys in backup roles hoping to do a good job. This defense, as good as they are, it reminds me of Buffalo. Mm. What do I say about Buffalo's defense? They are good, but when it comes down to it, they seem to always give up a big play. And that's what the Titans – and it's not the fault of the front seven. It's the back end. They're not holding up their end of the bargain. When you have a effective defensive line like the Titans have, guys that can like legitimately get to the passer, there's no reason why you should be giving up 9 yards per pass play. There's no reason why you can't get off the field on third down. That back end needs to step up. It's hard when guys are not consistently in the lineup.
One thing I noticed with Justin Herbert when I watched the tape, both of their game against the Dolphins last week and the Titans against the Chargers last year, where the Titans defense actually held the Chargers to 17 mm-hmm. points, is when it's an important down, he's throwing the ball to Keenan Allen.
Now
Williams made an incredible play, a great play by Herbert to Williams at the end of the game to set up the game-winning field goal for the Chargers. And, I mean, I don't think we should take Williams lightly. And Quentin Johnston, big rookie out of TCU. I would have loved the Titans to draft Quentin Johnston. But he, when in doubt, is going to Keenan Allen. How much of that do we think about going into this game saying, okay, whatever happens, don't let Keenan Allen beat you?
But who's going to cover him?
Yeah.
That's the key.
The Titans never match. First of all, on third down, the Titans never play man. I don't know if you guys have noticed this.
It's always that
soft zone, and then they just throw, you know, say it's third and seven. Mm-hmm. You know, one of those tight ends or receivers just goes and finds a spot in the zone, and the quarterback, and it doesn't matter who's quarterbacking, quarterback just drops it right in the zone for a first down every time.
But who's going to play in that zone? You know, who's going to be that guy? You know what I'm saying? It you can play zone, you can play man, but with a lot of the guys out, who's going to play that position? I mean, I know who's going to be the left corner.
Well, last year in the game at Los Angeles, Roger McCreary had an excellent game.
He made a lot of tackles.
I mean, he had that one interception in the corner of the end zone before halftime where
he
batted the ball.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he had a big third down stop where he was all over Mike Williams. And, you know, it was like the perfect kind of coverage where as the ball got there, he made contact with Williams' hands. And it was obvious to me that in the second half, they started throwing away from McCreary. Now, they had Greg Maben on the other side at the time because, once again, Fulton was hurt.
Yep.
So they had Greg Maben on the other side, and they took advantage of him. Mm-hmm. Sean Murphy Bunting had the mistake on the touchdown to Shaheed on Sunday, but he's a much better player than Greg Maben. Mm-hmm. And I do have a little bit of faith in Murphy Bunting. Mm-hmm. So I do think that those two guys can give me a chance. The guy that scares me is Molden because I don't think he's very good. I don't think he's very fast. I don't think he's very big. I don't think he's
– Here's the problem, I think, too. This team, from a linebacker standpoint, I don't know – covering is not their strength.
Early in the game against the Dolphins, they spread everybody out. And what they did, they went five wide receivers and they spread everybody out. Mm-hmm. And they put Keenan Allen – you know, it was on David Long Jr. And they just threw the ball down the field, you know, right there, just hit him. Easy. And I think that that's what Kellen Moore is going to try to do with the linebackers, is he's going to try to get them out there in some kind of coverage.
Well, you got to get them out in space. Again, these linebackers hadn't proven that they can cover consistently those tight ends and those big receivers. This is a big team. Chargers have no one in those skill positions, tight end receiver, no one is under 6'2".
Big dudes,
everybody is 6'2 and above, and the tallest guy is Parham Jr., and he's 6'8". They are a matchup problem for the Tennessee Titans. I don't think the Titans will ever see a team this big. Now, they're not extremely fast, But if you're talking about contested catches, they're going to make them. So the Titans got to figure out a way to eliminate those guys. And what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to do it up front.
Absolutely.
They're going to try to get to the quarterback as quickly as possible so he doesn't have an opportunity to sit there and pat the ball and find these big targets.
You know, D-May, that's a great point. That's why this front has got to get to the quarterback. They got to make sure they get Justin Herbert off the spot, because if he sits back there and he has time with those big receivers, they're going to make plays all day long. And it doesn't matter. It can be a slant. It can be a hitch. It can be a choice route. When those guys get the ball in his hands, that's when they become dangerous.
Last year, the Titans held the Chargers to 17 points, and that was with no DeNico Autry, no Tyrann Tart, who are both obviously going to play in this game. I do feel comfortable when it comes to the Titans. I do feel comfortable in their ability to get to Justin Herbert today. Do you guys feel the same way?
I mean, I feel confident in the defensive line. I really do.
Me too.
It's not that I don't think they're going to be able to get to the quarterback, because I think they are at times. What about the times they don't get to the quarterback?
Yep.
That's when that back end has to show up, because you can't blitz every play. You know, the Titans love to blitz from some angle. Can't blitz every play. And then what if when they spread out wide, four wides, five wides? Sometimes it looks like five wides, but it's really two tight ends and three receivers, because those tight ends are – they're just hybrid receivers. That's all they are. What do you do then? You can't get to the quarterback. He's going to find one of those guys. So, to me, it's not about necessarily – getting to the quarterback. What you need to do, it's about when you don't get to the quarterback, what is the back end doing?
I mean, he's exactly right. I mean, the back end is the most important. I know the front is going to get after the quarterback, but the one thing I don't want to happen is what Derek said. I don't want Shane blowing to start the blitz and you go man-to-man outside. I mean, you just don't need to do that. That's why this front with Simmons and Autry and Weaver, those guys need to get to the quarterback, get Justin Herbert off his spot, and have him make mistakes. Because if you look at last week when they went against Miami, he was consistently off his spot, and that's when he makes some mistakes. So that's why this front has to be big in this game.
How big of a loss is Austin Ekeler for what the Chargers try to do?
I mean, I think it's huge. I mean, he had 117 yards rushing last week, so he's a big part of the offense. And I think for him being out, it makes it better for us. But for the Chargers, that was one of their safety valves in the running game.
He's sort of the he's the Derrick Henry of the Chargers, but times two, because he does it out the backfield and running between the tackles. So when he's not on the field, now they may be able to design some things.
I'll ask it to you like this. Would you trade? Because I think we can all agree that Hooker is a humongous loss for this team. Fulton is a big loss for this team. Would you trade Hooker and Fulton for Ekeler? Because he's out today for the Chargers.
Would I trade Hooker and
so you can have your defense with Fulton and Hooker, but they get Ekeler. Or
let's take Ekeler out.
Okay.
Let's take
Ekeler out. So at least there's that.
Yeah, let's take Ekeler out.
At least there's that for the game.
Get him out of here.
Let's take Ekeler out.
Speaking of the injury report, we will have the inactives momentarily. We will get to that coming up next. And the injury report, again, we are live out at Teddy's Tavern, where they came by and they just dropped us off the biscuits and the eggs. And this is absolutely.
Get you some of these fries now.
I mean, absolutely wonderful. You already ate one.
Cam, I'm getting my eat on right. Listen.
Are they good?
Oh. Want to hear me snap?
Teddy's Tavern brunch and specialty Titans cocktails every Sunday from when they open until 2 o'clock. 2-for-1 mimosas and Bloody Marys from open until 2 every Sunday. 2-for-1 draft beer all day every Sunday out here at Teddy's Tavern. And they do say that they have the best burger downtown. So at some point we're going to have to put that to the test. But they do, in fact, say that, again, just steps away from the Ryman and Bridgestone Arena, right across the street from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza. This is where we will be every home game for the award-winning pregame show this season. Again, that's Teddy's Tavern. Come on out and see us. It's the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3, the game. From Teddy's Tavern out here once again, right across the street from Bridgestone Arena. This will be the spot that we are here the entire home season ahead of the Titans and the Chargers. We are awaiting the Titans inactives today.
We know a couple.
As to who's going to be in or who's going to be out. Just a couple of nuggets, though, that we already know. Amani Hooker out with a concussion. Christian Fulton out with a hamstring. And then Peter Skoronski out with an appendectomy, first reported yesterday by yours truly. And the inactives are out: Hooker, Fulton, Skoronski, Colton Dowell, Caleb Murphy, Trevis Gibson, and Will Levis are inactive today for the Titans. So that makes Malik Willis the backup for the second week in a row. Let's start on the Hooker and Fulton front. Are they ever going to stay healthy?
No.
Nah.
No. I mean, I think I've just gotten to the point now where I can't count on either guy.
Have they been healthy since they've been here?
No.
No. So, again, I've never heard somebody saying, I used to be injury prone, and then all of a sudden they're not injury prone. No.
What is it? His hamstring, right?
Yeah.
Hooker
Fulton, is different. He's a concussion.
So, the two separate things here.
Yeah.
Hooker has a concussion. Hooker's injuries come from, I think, because either he doesn't know how to tackle properly.
No.
Or because he's too small to tackle properly. Because it's always like a shoulder injury off of a tackle. Or it's a concussion. He's gotten a lot of concussions.
He reminds me of Blaine. Blaine was, he just wanted to hit you.
Yeah.
And he ends up getting hurting himself.
Yeah. Fulton,
and he can't stop that.
Fulton, it is a hamstring that he spent, you know, Vrabel called him a, what was it, a multiple offender last year?
A
repeat offender.
Oh.
And then he went to Miami to go work with, like, LeBron's hamstring guru all off season. And he has a great training camp, and he shows up, and he gets hurt in the first half of the first game.
Listen, when you have hamstrings, I don't care what you do, those are hard to come by. I mean, it must be a high hamstring situation, because when you do that, you can't explode, you can't turn, and eventually you're going to hurt yourself. So, man, it's just kind of like the same problems he's been having since he got here, the injuries, he's unavailable.
Yeah, you just can't trust. They got rid of two other guys because they couldn't stay on the field. And that was a point of concern for Vrabel last year. So much so he mentioned it. He mentioned those guys by name, and Fulton was one of those guys. And then Fulton comes into the year, first game of the season, and what does he have? A hamstring issue once again. Hooker is different. Even though he has gotten hurt a lot, I sort of joked that he's sort of the Blaine Bishop. But the one thing Blaine Bishop did was stay on the field.
Yep.
He managed to stay on the field, but he gave up his body and he sacrificed his body a lot to make those tackles. But he remained on the field. Hooker plays sort of like Blaine, but he can't stay healthy for whatever reason. I can't put my faith in guys that are habitually injured.
Sure.
Guys that I can't rely on each and every game. After a while, you just like, okay, if he plays, he plays. If he doesn't, then so be it. Let's go.
Peter Skoronski with an appendectomy.
Ooh.
I mean, that's not going to be just a one-week thing, is it?
Not.
What are we thinking about the left guard position? Vrabel said during the week that Dylan Radins will play in some capacity today. Now, he didn't say.
I know.
So I was telling Chris, I think it means, that we could see him, you know, on the field goal team. Maybe we could see him at left guard today. Mm. I think they're going to start Corey Levin. Mm. I don't know. TD will join us from the stadium. He may have more insight on that in just a little bit. I mean, Corey Levin at left guard is not the end of the world for me, but Skoronski is by far their best offensive lineman, and to not have him this week and maybe even going forward for a couple of weeks is a massive loss for the Titans.
It is. This team already struggled from the offensive line standpoint, and then your best offensive lineman goes down. Now you got to replace him with the backup. And again, Levin can come in and do a good job, but it's just an unknown right now. And when you're dealing with an offensive line that struggles and you lose your best guy, that I'm sure Ryan Tannehill has to be like, man, what else can possibly happen here? But I expect, you know, this offense and Tim Kelly to do a lot of combo blocking, helping him out, because they need to help out Dillard as well. I mean, Dillard didn't look good, and I was sort of high on Dillard coming in, because it couldn't get no worse than Daly. It just couldn't. but after that first game, he was getting pushed around.
He just
didn't seem like the fix at left tackle. Now, things could change. This upcoming week could be different today. But going against Bosa or Mack, how much different is it going to look?
And that's where I have to break the bad news. The Chargers inactives are out. Dion Henley is inactive. Eric Kendricks, the linebacker, who is a very good player. Mm-hmm. Eric Kendricks is out with a hamstring. A.J. Finley, running back Austin Eckler, is out. Brendan James, Jiams is out for the Chargers. Christopher Hinton is out. And Chris Rump, the defensive lineman.
Rump is out?
Is out. But that does mean that Joey Bosa is in today. He was questionable coming into the game. And I do think about Bosa and Mack against these tackles, more so Bosa, because Mack has lost a step as a pass rusher. But I am worried about Joey Bosa.
Yeah. Anytime you have a guy, an end, that can rush like Bosa can with the – it's not just the speed. He's – physically strong.
I mean, he's one of the best five pass rushers.
Exactly. So it always presents a problem for a team. How do they block that? That's the big question. How do you block a guy that can beat a double team? And then if you double team him, even though Khalil Mack doesn't have that speed, he still have that strength to push you back into the quarterback. So they're going to have to figure this out. Combo block, had a tight ends chip. You know, as they're going out, running backs chipping as they're going out. They can't just leave it solely up to their tackles to block Hubbard, Bosa or Khalil Mack.
You know, the one person I'm concerned in this offensive line is Dillard. I mean, you look at last week, he struggled. There was 12 pressures in the game. He gave up six. So, you know, they got to figure out this offensive line quick. And I think that's the reason why you said earlier, Derek, that what the heck is Tannehill thinking? Think he's like, what the heck just happened? I just lost my best guard. Now the offensive line is still struggling. So what do I do? What do we have to do? So I think that, you know, Tim Kelly is going to have to do a great job by figuring out a way to protect, you know, Dillard and Hubbard because they're struggling at the tackle position.
What do we make of the fact that DeAndre Hopkins will play with an ankle injury? You know, a lot of the football doctors on the internet saw the injury and the way they broke it down. They said, you know, it's probably more of a 2 to 4 week injury. DeAndre on Friday did not know if he was going to be able to go. He is officially active. He's going to give it a go. You guys have played through ankle injuries. Derek, I start with you. What do you make of DeAndre's game today with the ankle?
Well, if it's not a high ankle sprain.
Which I assume it's not, or else he probably wouldn't be playing.
Because even with a high ankle sprain, even if you get a shot or something, it still hurts. It hurts, believe me. I played one of those, and they shot me up. And it was like, man, I still feel it, you know. Mm-hmm. But you try to push through. So we tend to believe it's not a high ankle sprain. If it's just a regular sprain, shoot him up, he should be fine. Once you start getting into the flow of the game, he's not going to think about it unless someone, you know, falls on it or twists it as they're tackling him. That's the only reason he will feel it. But I think as the game starts to go, he starts to get in the flow of the game, he's not going to feel it.
You know, I mean, it all depends on what the routes that he runs. I mean, I remember when Terrell Owens hurt
his – he ain't running much downfield.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say, because you remember when Terrell hurt his ankle before the Super Bowl?
Uh-huh.
He didn't run a lot of comebacks. He didn't run a lot of, like, you know, things back to the sidelines. He ran like a little, like, crossing routes to get him the ball. Mm-hmm. And I think that Tim Kelly should do the exact same thing. Let him run the shallow cross, those quick outs, so he doesn't have to put those pressure on that ankle.
I do want to just mention, because as Chris remembers firsthand, I was not a fan of the Dylan Raiden's draft choice when it was made.
You said you loved him. You sent him a postcard.
Oh, man.
I can believe you were like, oh, no.
Hey,
it was louder and more obnoxious than that. I mean, it was
great.
You know, it was all. But last season, the best game the offense played at Green Bay on a Thursday night, and Ben Jones was out of that game with a concussion. Aaron Brewer played center. Dylan Raiden's played left guard. And they threw the ball for over 300 yards. They ran the ball effectively. They were good in the first half. They were good in the second half. It was by far the best game.
Why?
That they played. I don't know why. But Dylan Raiden's did play guard in that game.
But he had help.
Do you guys think that we will see Dylan Raiden's play guard today? And are you okay with it if we do?
Judging by what Vrabel said, yeah, we'll see him. but in what capacity? Is it just going to be on the field goal? The field goal protect? Or is it, you know, is it going to be actually, or is it going to be goal line situations, short yardage situations, or are we going to see him in the game?
You mean like when they bring in, when they bring him in as that sixth offensive lineman?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, a 75 is now an eligible receiver.
Because the offensive line isn't like the receiver position or the running back position or the defensive back where you can kind of rotate guys through. Okay, you play now.
Yeah.
You play. No.
Right.
Offensive linemen, they got to be playing together the whole game.
I mean, you want to see that play report where it's, you know, quarterback 100, left tackle, left guard, center, right guard, right tackle, 100, 100, 100, 100.
Exactly. And judging by what Vrabel said, I'm not sure it's going to be that way because you can't say I see him in suck, you see him in suck capacity. What does that mean? Like, either he's going to start or he isn't.
Well, and the game that he got hurt last year, the Chargers game where he tore his ACL, they said that, you know, oh, he may play a little bit. Daly started the game, and then on the third offensive series, he went out to left tackle.
They don't trust him.
And he committed a hold, and then he tore his ACL.
Yeah, I mean, that's funny what you said. You said he'll be in some capacity. That means you're going in field goal or extra point. That's all I got for you.
Let's check in with TD at the stadium. We'll do that coming up next. Again, we are live out at Teddy's Tavern out here downtown, right across from Bridgestone Arena, where once again, this will be our spot for the home games all season long. And not only that,
what?
We were talking during the break. I was like, the vicinity to the arena.
I mean,
you know, after the games, before the games, concerts, you name it, Teddy's Tavern is your spot to be. It's the pregame show, the award-winning pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Teddy's Tavern. It is the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You know it's something when Mr. Scale has arrived.
You got
out
one, you
here
got
at the pregame show out at Teddy's Tavern here on the program. But it is time now to go to Nissan Stadium where ESPN's Teron Davenport is hanging out. So TD, Peter Skoronski is out. We heard during the week Mike Vrabel say that Dylan Radins was going to play in some capacity. Who is going to be playing left guard for the Titans today? Do we have an idea on that?
Yeah, I think it's either going to be Xavier Newman or Dylan Radins. Don't be surprised if it's Newman, though. Really, don't be surprised if he's there left guard, to be honest with you. And it's a tough situation for the Titans, obviously, because Skoronski, frankly, was their best offensive lineman last week. So you hate to see that happen, but he has the, as Jared, as you reported, the appendix issue, and, you know, he's going to be out.
TD, how does DeAndre Hopkins look? Has DeAndre been out on the field yet to test that ankle?
No.
We know that he's dealing with the ankle sprain. So he has not been out yet, so we have not seen him test that.
No, I didn't see him. He didn't come out on the field. That's actually, I came down here on purpose just specifically because of that. But didn't see him. He walked in, no problem. He was in good spirits. And even talking to him yesterday, you know, he said that he prepared this week like as if he was going to play. So I don't think this is anything that should be a surprise or anything like that. He's going to be able to go. And he said it got it rolled up on a little bit. It was that last reception that he made, the last offensive play, you know, when they fell short of on 3rd and 12 when he had that 6-yard catch.
Now, TD, Fulton is out. Hooker is out. This is nothing new in regards to Fulton. But who will take over for Fulton and who will take over for Hooker? And how concerned are you or Titans fans should be that even though this defensive line is one of the better ones in the NFL, the back end still hasn't been able to hold up their end of the bargain?
Yeah, so when they're in their base, it'll be Roger McCreary on the outside. But when they go nickel or sub, anything like that, you'll see Trey Avery come in. And remember, they activated, they gave him the elevation, Eric Garrer. But I think, you know, McCreary will bump into nickel, Avery will go to right corner, and that's how that package will look. Elijah Molden will be the safety. Now, there will be times where, you know, they drop Molden down in the box, you know, and have him play nickel when they go with that big nickel spot. and they'll have Mike Brown come in as the third safety.
Now, TD, do you see the Chargers getting the Titans more into nickel defense than not, with even if they spread it out, you know, what seemed to be five wides? Because we know those two big tight ends, Everett and Parham, they are just extension of the wide receivers. They're hybrid wide receivers. Do you think the Chargers will try to do that without having Austin Ekeler in the lineup today, try to spread this Titans team out and get him a nickel?
Yeah, I do. And you mentioned the tight ends, which is definitely worth mentioning. But then also, you know, you look at some of the other receivers. You know, they got four pretty solid receivers. Obviously, Keenan Allen, and you got, you know, Josh Palmer. You got Mike Williams, and then the Quentin Johnson that they drafted in the first round. So I could see them doing a lot of four-wise. I would imagine the Titans are going to be in a lot of stuff packaging today. And if you're a Titans DB, you better be ready, because I think you're going to get a lot of time.
You know, TD, just kind of switching to the offense right now. You know, Chig had a great offseason. He had a great OTAs, but in this last game, he had zero catches. What does Tim Kelly need to do to make Chig a part of this offense?
I think he needs to continue to call the game the way he did, honestly, last week. There are opportunities, but, you know, Tannehill didn't go to him or he missed him. You know, Chig was open multiple times last week, so do that. But I would definitely, just to get him in the mix, get him an early touch, I would, you know, run some tight end screens. I would run some play action, find a way, like motion him across the formation, have him release to the flat, and have Tannehill just play action, roll out to that side, because that's good for Chig to get him touches earlier, but also a way to get Ryan Tannehill in a bit of a rhythm as well. You know, that's something that has to happen early in the game.
You know, TDS, playing wide receiver, you know, back in the NFL, I always wanted to be involved in the offense early. What do the Titans need to do to make Burks a part of this offense early? Because last week he was 2 for 18, and he just didn't have the rhythm to make some plays downfield.
I think it's the same situation. Get him end around, quick passes, wide receiver screens, you know, that play action, the strike route. Frankly, if it were me, what I would do if I was Tim Kelly, I would open up the game with play action, hitting Burks on that strike route, and I would have Hopkins run the post over top of it, because you know they're going to key on Hopkins, and now you might be able to get Burks freed up for a catch and run. And you know how it is, man. Like, as a receiver, you try not to check out, but it's so much easier to check in when you get touches early. And some guys, you know, they will allow that, not getting touches early. They'll allow that to kind of, you know, throw them off, and they won't check into the game.
TD, it is a beautiful day out at Nissan Stadium, but last week we had you give us the play-by-play of Nick Folk in his warm-ups, and I have to say, as the loudest Nick Folk critic, I was incredibly impressed with his performance in the Dome. How has Nick Folk looked? Give us a warm-up update on the Titans kicker before his first game at Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, he must have known that you were about to ask about him, because he just walked from the opposite side of the field to the side.
He said, "TD, you on with Stillman?
That's
all
hilarious.
Right, watch this."
Yeah, and he said, "You know, a big, you know what, you to the guy in Boston that misled you too." He just hit 35, so let's see. He backed
35.
Up. Now he's at 45. You know, he's going through the routine. 45, he's on the right hash, 45 yards out right now.
Is he wearing headphones?
It is starting to rain. He's wearing headphones. He just pointed to me and gave me a thumbs up. No, I'm just kidding. It did start to rain, though.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
Wide right.
Oh,
don't
no,
say it.
No.
Don't sit and tell Jared that.
Come on, TD.
Jared that, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Shut the show down. Shut the show down.
Nervous when he
already
nervous. He's 45.
One raindrop comes down, and all of a sudden,
we rain.
Crazy is the wind is blowing the opposite way. Oh, right in the middle. 45 yards.
No.
45 again, right down the middle.
All right,
now
that's good.
Moving to the opposite hash. So we'll
there
see.
We go. TD, great stuff.
Appreciate
you as always. We look forward to your breakdowns
you,
all week, TD.
All right, for sure. And tell Xavier McDaniel, have a good show.
Oh. God, last week we were so happy because TD gave us the play-by-play of him hitting a 52-yarder or whatever.
Now
he's missing from 45.
Now you're in a bad mood. Oh, here
you know
we go.
What's funny? What? It was a beautiful day. Like, where we are out here at Teddy's Tavern, I can look right outside the window. Yeah. I see the arena, and I see, you know, it was sunshine. It was beautiful. I mean, I walked across the bridge to get here. Now, as soon as TD says it's starting to rain, I look outside, and, you know, it's overclassed.
It's all your fault,
man. Overclassed. Overcast. And it's like I'm sitting here, and then, you know, one raindrop for the guy that was brilliant indoors, and he's wide right.
I mean,
No.
Jared, he made four field goals.
Five field goals.
Including the first one from 50 yards.
Exactly. Yeah. So don't worry. He'll be all right. Don't worry.
Be happy.
Yeah, it's just one raindrop, man. Just one raindrop.
So one important nugget, Will Levis is inactive again today, which means that he'll be the third emergency quarterback. Malik's the backup. And I'm not somebody that says, okay, well, because Levis is the third string, that he's clearly a bust and he's this and he's that. If they lose this game, though, to the Chargers, do we start to think about Shedeur Sanders as a Titan?
Stop it to me.
Nah.
It's only the second game.
Aren't y'all related?
Yeah, we are. That's actually my cousin.
Shedeur?
Yeah, Shedeur.
But not Shiloh.
Who
he's Deion's other son.
Oh, that's another brother. I thought you was talking Kung Fu or something. What are we doing? I think he said like, what are we doing?
So Shedeur's your cousin, but not Shiloh.
Yeah. Not Shiloh.
I'm not claiming Shiloh.
Shiloh had a pick six last year.
He sure did.
I'm still not claiming.
I will say this. Crazy. If the Titans are terrible, and I mean, you know, a lot of times when teams end up picking first, like
three
the team that picks first, they're not, they don't think they're going to be that bad, like entering the season. Chicago did not think they were going to be as bad as they were. If the Titans are that kind of bad and they're picking high in the draft, I would prefer Caleb Williams because I think he's the better player. Mm-hmm. And same with Drake May.
Yeah.
But if I can't get one of those two guys, give me Shedeur.
But what do you do with Levis?
I don't care.
Man,
it ain't that easy.
Hold on. You're writing Levis off already.
Oh, no.
He ain't even played the game yet.
He
been hurt.
I like Levis.
He got hurt.
Hey, whoa. Did you
I like
it?
Levis.
Oh, he
but
said
Levis is not Shedeur Sanders.
He said, did you hear what he said? I like Levis.
I do.
Well, why would you want to get somebody else then?
Yeah.
Because he's Shedeur Sanders is the man. Ricky, back me up. Shedeur Sanders is the man.
Oh.
Are you serious?
Hey,
man.
You ain't getting none of my fries.
Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, yeah, that's your Coming up next, we'll take a look at our picks to click. Who is going to click today for a Titans victory? We will do that next. And, of course, we got Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. We take a look at the sports books and our game day predictions. All of that and more to come. Again, live out at Teddy's Tavern, downtown, right across the street from Bridgestone Arena. Brand spanking new this place is. We absolutely love it. Right here, Teddy's Tavern. It is the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The previous segment's argument about Shedeur Sanders continued the entire break.
That's my cousin.
I mean, I guess you guys are related. It's time to pick to click, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Parman Energy. Who is going to click on offense today, Chris Sanders, for a Titans victory over the Chargers?
I am going to go with Chig. I hope Chig has a big game
today. You've been talking about Chig all morning.
No, because he's a big play receiver, and he needs to be used. I mean, if you look at it, camp, what was the bright spot of camp? It was Chig making plays, you know, each and up and down the field. So if Chig can have a big game, last week he had zero catches. But if he can come out and make some explosive plays, it makes the offense better.
But Tannehill's going to have to get him the ball. I mean, they did have the game-winning touchdown for Chig and Tannehill, you know.
Right.
Overshot it a little bit there.
Yep.
Derek Mason.
On offense, I mean, it has to be Treylon Burks. They got to find a way to get him into the game. We saw what happened when they were not able to get him in the flow of the game. That offense, those dink-and-dump passes is not going to win you games to D-Hop. It may move the chains for a bit. But what happens when it's 3rd and 12, 3rd and 15? The same thing that happened the last series of the game. They'll let you get a little 6-yarder and come up and tackle you. They got to find a way to get the ball to Treylon Burks often and down the field.
Yep.
There's one guy in this offense that Ryan Tannehill, I believe, well, two, Derrick Henry's one of them, but has the utmost trust for, that he would put his life on the line for this guy.
Your boy.
Nick Westbrook Akina.
But I thought you hated Nick Westbrook Akina.
I mean, I would prefer that Tannehill have all the trust and the faith in the world in Burks or Hopkins And not Nick Westbrook Akine, but again, he's been with Nick Westbrook Akine for 4 years now, and I think, you know, there's clearly something there that when in doubt, he was either going to Hopkins or Nick Westbrook Akine last week, two grabs for over 20 yards, which the Titans almost never have, guys who grab the ball for 20 yards. So I do believe that in this game, his safety blanket may be Nick Westbrook Akine, and I do not think the Chargers are very good in the secondary. So I'm going to go with Nick Westbrook Akine as more of a high-volume guy, especially with DeAndre Hopkins dealing with the ankle injury.
Well, I mean, NWI always seemed to make a play. Yeah.
And I hate to have to pick Nick Westbrook. but you guys took the other guys. I would have taken anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, he does. He's not flashy. He's not going to beat you consistently down the field. What he does
or
is,
ever down the field.
I mean, there are opportunities he's had in the past to do that, and more times than not, he's made the play for Ryan Tannehill. But the thing about him is that he's consistent. He's supposed to be where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there, and he catches the football. That's all a quarterback wants from a receiver. And it seems like NWI is the one guy that consistently does that for this offense. Again, he's not flashy,
yep.
And he may only get you two catches, but those two catches will be critical catches in the game.
Yep, and he's reliable. I mean, you hit it right on the head. He's reliable. He's always in the right spot, and he always comes up with a big catch at the right moment, so that's not a bad pick.
Defense, Chris Sanders.
I'm going with Shiloh Sanders from Colorado. No, I'm just kidding. No, actually, I'm going with Byard. I mean, I think Byard can have a big game in the secondary because, you know, Justin Herbert, if he gets off a spot, he tries to make the big play, and I think Byard can be huge to come up with two picks against Herbert.
By the way, Byard last season had a massive interception in the game at LA of Justin Herbert and in the game here on Thursday night against the Cowboys when Byard was the only guy who played. Byard had two interceptions. Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator for the Chargers, was the offensive coordinator calling the plays for the Cowboys then.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, he's got to be big in this game because the secondary is banged up, so he's got to come up with a play. And we always talk about this. Big players make big plays in big games. This is a big game for the Tennessee Titans, and Byard is a big-time player.
Derek Mason.
On defense, it has to be Jack Gibbons. For this reason.
I don't want Jack Gibbons to be on the field.
I mean, it's going to have to be Jack Gibbons or like one of those other linebackers. I'm not going to say the linebacking group because I tend to say the whole group when you talk about keys to the game and individuals, I usually say a whole group. But I think it's more or less it has to be Jack Gibbons and those linebackers for this reason. If you've watched the Chargers, they love to be in multiple sets. They love to spread you out, motion, do all this crazy stuff. He has to be able to cover those backs out of the backfield or those big tight ends. They're going to try to put those linebackers in a vulnerable position.
And what they do a lot of, too, is with Kellen Moore calling the plays, they go tempo a lot. When they get matchups they like, they do not want to take anybody off the field because they will find the matchup they like. They can spread out. We may see Jack Gibbons in coverage. We may see them try to figure out how to get a receiver. Mm-hmm. On Jack Gibbons today.
And that's why I said those linebackers, and more importantly, Jack Gibbons, these guys are the key to the game. Because now that Austin Eckler's out, you know they're going to try to multiple sets, try to create matchup problems. They got to do a good job at communicating for that linebacker position.
For me, it's Roger McCreary. I thought Roger McCreary had a great game on Sunday against the Saints. I thought Roger McCreary had a good, albeit not flashy, camp. And last year against the Chargers, Roger McCreary had one of the best interceptions of the season, but also played a great game, even against Mike Williams, who had, 8 inches and 40 pounds on him. Mm-hmm. And he still played physical with Williams. He still played tough against Williams. And I expect him and Sean Murphy Bunting to share the responsibilities of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams today. And so I think that McCreary, not only do they need him to be steady, but they also may need him to make a play, intercepting a pass or something along those lines. McCreary's been a solid player since the Titans drafted him, but he's going to be a big part of it today.
That kind of scares me a little bit, and the reason why I say it is because you have those gigantic wide receivers. I think if you do put him on one of those receivers, have a safety over top, because if they go man-to-man, Herbert's just going to eliminate his reading.
I don't even know who the backup safety for the Titans is.
The Titans don't know right now.
Is it Steve Atwater?
Like, is Byard and who?
I don't know.
TD said you may see Moten at you know, safety.
And so then Eric Guerra at corner?
I guess so, Sean.
Trey Avery?
No. Hey, look at what I've always screamed this. The depth they don't have. They don't have depth. And a team that has been as injury-prone as the Titans have been over the last two seasons, I don't understand why they haven't been able to build up depth on this roster.
I mean, that's it. I mean, you got to get the depth because just kind of we're saying it to be funny, but they don't have depth in the secondary. I mean, you asked a great question. Who's after Byard? I mean, who is it? I don't know. I had to even look on the roster, and I still can't find it. So they're going to have to figure it out quick because what if Byard goes down, who's going to be in the spot?
Those are our picks to click, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. I do want to take a look. I was a little surprised that none of us picked anybody on the defensive line as far as picks to click are concerned, because the Titans' defensive line is probably the strength of the football team. And so given that we know they've got a good passing attack with Herbert at quarterback and all those receivers, I'm a little surprised nobody picked defensive line. How much are we banking on the guys that they pay a lot of money to, like Simmons and Landry and Key and Autry and Tart, in order to be the difference makers today for the Titans?
I think, I'm not so much putting Harold Landry in this equation because he's still working through that injury. Mm-hmm. He didn't look particularly good last week, and it's understandable. The pressure – well, not the pressure. I think the guys in the middle, Tier, Tart, Autry, and Simmons, and whoever else they roll through, I think that as long as they continue to do their job, eventually it will open up for Harold Landry, eventually. Because what those guys do is they do a really good job at pushing those centers and those guards into the quarterback and not allowing the quarterback to step up. That's why Arden Key gets two sacks last week. I think Danico Autry had two sacks last week, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So as long as the defensive line continues to do their job, those three guys, I think from that standpoint, they will be okay. It's just the back end holding up.
I do wonder if the Titans last year holding the Chargers to 17 points, albeit different offensive coordinator for the Chargers, but the Titans did hold them to 17 points. Does that give us hope? You know, they scored 34 last week against the Dolphins. Does it give us hope that the Titans' defense can keep this game manageable for the offense?
Well, you always hope that the Titan defense can keep it manageable for the Titans' offense, because this is not a, you know, within the last 2 years, 2-3 years, this hasn't been a explosive offense. We've been screaming for that explosiveness, and we just hadn't gotten it consistently from the offense. But, you know, leaning on that defense, you know, they can do enough to keep the Titans in the game. Last year was last year. It's a different coordinator for the LA Chargers. I think what he's going to try to do, and you mentioned it earlier, Jared, is tempo, tempo, tempo. They used a lot of tempo, a lot of different packages versus the Miami Dolphins. Look for them to do the same thing against the Tennessee Titans, which means that defense, especially to that front, they got to hold up, because if they don't, then this is going to end up being a blowout. Yeah, but I expect them to hold up.
And I agree with you, Derek. I think that the Titans definitely can't have field goals. You can't have five field goals and no touchdowns getting into the red zone. They're going to have to score some points. They're going to have to get in the red zone and not come up with field goals. They got to come up with touchdowns, because you better believe that the Los Angeles Chargers are going to score some points like they did last week against Miami.
Do you think the Titans' defense is good enough to be an elite defense with an offense that they have?
Yes. And the reason why I say this is
And if you're an elite defense, don't you need to be elite, like, in games like this, I mean, where you need the defense to carry you?
They just got to clean up a couple of things. I mean, if you look at last week when they played against the Saints, I mean, they were all over Derek Carr. But the one thing that kind of concerns me just a little bit, if they clean it up, is just don't give up the explosive plays. I mean, they had about, what, 5 or 6 or 7 explosive plays downfield. So if they can clean that up, stay consistently after the quarterback the whole game, I think they can be an elite defense.
I think they have the potential to be an elite defense, but it's all predicated on whether they can stay healthy. And right now, they're not healthy, which puts more pressure and you know, which puts more pressure on the defensive line to go out there and play every play. Now, listen, going to the game, that's what they want to do regardless. But without having your starters at the safety position and at the corner position for a unit that is already struggling, it's going to put even more pressure on this defensive line and those linebackers to get to the quarterback.
Coming up next, Mike Vrabel's key to the game, plus we've got to take a look at the lines and we have to make our game day predictions. By the way, everybody on this panel, 0-1, we all picked the Titans last week to beat the Saints. Although I did pick the Titans to score 16 points in the game. They scored 15. You picked them to score 28. And yeah, I was like, how are they going to get me 28 points?
I mean, that's Grandpa Chris said that.
Unbelievable. That's all next. Live from Teddy's Tavern, it's the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tavern again out here right across the street from Bridgestone Arena. Apparently Disney on Ice going on in Bridgestone Arena today. The Titans, meanwhile, going on at Nissan Stadium. And again, we love being out here. This will be Teddy's Tavern where we are every home game this season. Just steps from the Ryman and Bridgestone and just a couple of blocks away from the pedestrian bridge. Teddy's Tavern is where you want to be to pregame all the hottest events in Nashville and come try the specialty Titans-themed cocktails during brunch, including the T-Rack Sack and Titan Water, as well as two-for-one mimosas and Bloody Marys until 2 o'clock. And their second floor will have all the games, including the Titans and the Chargers today. Everybody knows what happened on Sunday against the Saints. The Titans scored 15 points. Ryan Tannehill was inaccurate. Ryan Tannehill had a tough game. The defense fell apart at the very, very end. And everybody knows that the Chargers scored 34 points in a loss to the Dolphins. Meanwhile, Mike Vrabel's key to the game is, don't worry about what happened in week one. It has nothing to do with week two.
Whatever we did last week won't have any bearing. Whatever the Chargers did won't have any bearing on the game. And that's the facts. And things that you did last week, whether that's good and bad, you know, we have to understand that it's a whole new week. It's a new team. It's a new opportunity.
Okay, you guys have lived this. Mm-hmm. In fact, the best season that the Titans ever had, 13-3, number one seed in the AFC, number one team in the NFL playoffs. You guys lost on the road at Buffalo week one. What do you make of Vrabel saying, hey, everything that happened last week against the Saints, forget about it. It has nothing to do this week against the Chargers. Same with whatever the Chargers did against the Dolphins last week.
I mean, the thing about it is, I mean, you can forget about it and do all those things, but you still got to correct them. I mean, you can't just say, well, we forget about what happened. We can forget about what the offensive line did.
We flush this game and we go.
Yeah, you can flush it, but you got to go back to going back to what's the identity of the team. What are we going to do on offense? How do we improve the offensive line? How can we not make mistakes? How can we not do those things and not repeat that same thing in the Chargers game? So if they can do that and fix those mistakes, I think it's going to be a competitive game this game.
Well, if they don't, excuse me, if they don't correct those mistakes, it's going to end up being the same thing that it was last week, but maybe even worse. And, you know, going into a game, what happens is you typically what you're doing is taking your game plan from the previous weeks and you're still implementing the same pass plays and the same run plays that you ran the previous week. Now, you may run them in a different order, at different times, maybe in a different formation, but they're all still the same play. So you're not taking, oh, this didn't work against New Orleans, so we're going to scrap this whole offense, and now we're coming in with a new offense. No. The only way things change, like Chris said, is if they correct the mistakes. If they don't correct those mistakes, guys looking at the quarterback instead of looking at the defender, peeking in the backfield, guys not being on the same page. If they don't correct that, it's going to end up being the same thing it was last week, even worse.
So I think the number one thing Vrabel's talking about there, too, is Tannehill. You know, Tannehill had a bad game against the Saints. I think we all know that.
Yeah.
That bad game, again, what Vrabel's getting at, won't linger to today.
He hopes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, when I hear that, I'm like, I mean, I hope, because if it does linger to today, then you've got real problems, especially off the jump with the packed house on opening day.
You know, I think the key to the whole game is you got to make sure Tannehill has something good happen early. Because if it's something bad happens bad and he throws an interception or they get 2-3 and outs, you don't think that crowd is going to go crazy to get him out of there. But if you get him out of there, who are you going to go to? with Levis, that's not going to be any better. So I just think that with Tannehill, he's just got to make something good happen early. Throw a deep shot to Traylon Burks or throw a deep shot to Chig. Make something positive to get that bad taste out of your mouth.
Just play to his strength. Play action. He was one of the better quarterbacks in the National Football League over the last course of, you know, 3 or 4 years at play action pass. So just go back to play action pass and let him get into rhythm that way. Let him find those wide open, you know, shallow crosses or intermediate in routes that he completes so well. Give him that. Allow him to do that. And once he get into a rhythm there, then you sort of get to some other things that you want to get to. But I think you got to start off, if you don't want him playing the game like he did last week, or you don't want him, you know, or if you're afraid that he may sort of, you know, regress in a sense, go back to what works for him. Play action pass. Get him some quick screens to the receivers. Let him also, as a quarterback, get into a rhythm.
What do you guys make of Tannehill's psyche right now?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, you would expect that he's in a good place right now. You know,
even after the game last week?
Even after the game last week. Because I think, you know, I'm just looking back on past history. When Ryan Tannehill has played not a good game, he typically comes back and play a little bit better than what he played the previous game. I know everyone points to that Cincinnati game. Horrible Cincinnati game. First game of the season against the Giants, he has a really good game. So he's been known to bounce back. I'm not saying he's going to bounce back and throw for 400 yards, but I do expect him to play a lot better than what he played last week.
Yeah, I just think right now you're looking at a frustrated quarterback. I mean, when you listen to some of the some of the post comments that he made when they asked, I think it was TD asking him about, you know, about the three interceptions. He said, let's just go past that. I don't want to talk about it. I just think that he's frustrated in some things. But also, I think you're looking at a quarterback that's playing a little uncertain. When I say play a little uncertain, when you can't go through your progression, when you can't go through your reads, then you start to steer down your receiver like he did Hopkins. So if he can eliminate that, go through his progression, and the offensive line protects, I think he'll get past it like D-May said.
Let's take a look at the line on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, the Chargers are favored in the game, 2.5 points. And the total is 45.5, which is not very high, but with the Titans offense, I guess that's probably not a surprise. Here is the popular same-game parlay bet on FanDuel right now. Apparently, a $10 wager wins $140. Mm. Chargers on the money line. Mm. Joshua Kelly, who will be in at running back for Austin Eckler as an anytime touchdown scorer. Keenan Allen as an anytime touchdown scorer. And Derrick Henry as an anytime touchdown scorer. How do we feel about that? Do you feel confident Keenan Allen's going to score? Do you feel confident Derrick Henry's going to score today? Titans didn't get into the end zone last week.
I feel confident that Derrick Henry is going to score. I feel confident that Keenan Allen's going to score.
Joshua Kelly?
Yeah.
Joshua Kelly? I don't know. I don't know. But I'm confident in the other two. But I just hope that Derrick Henry scores more than Keenan Allen.
I'm going with Henry. I think he's going to score about 2 or 3 touchdowns.
Touchdowns?
I say 2.
Okay.
You did say 2 or 3.
I said 2.
Time now for our game day predictions. Again, last week we all picked the Titans to beat the Saints, so we're all 0-1 on the season. Chris Sanders.
Yo!
Titans and Chargers today at Nissan Stadium. Who wins, final score, and why?
I am going to go with the Tennessee Titans 17-14. I'm not going to be outrageous like I did last week and say 28 to whatever. But I think that you're going to see 100.
How's Derrick Henry going to score 3 touchdowns and 17 points?
Because I said 2, man. It's 14. I said 2, man. But I just think that, in all seriousness, I think that Tannehill is going to play a good game because I think he's frustrated, but he's going to play well. Even every time his back is against the wall, he figures out a way to win. But for them to win, I think Derrick Henry has to be a vocal point of this offense. If he can run the ball, stay in front of the chains, make plays, I think the Tennessee Titans 17. Chargers 14.
Derek Mason.
Oh, man. I am going to pick the Titans, but, man, I am hesitant at picking them. It's not a confident pick, but I am going to pick them.
Is it a heart pick or a head pick?
I think it's more of a heart pick than a head pick right now. I just think first game at home. And if it rains, this weather may help them. you know, because the Chargers are without Austin Ekeler. So running a football for them may be a – it was already going to be tough, but it may be a little bit tougher if indeed it does rain, which means they can't pass the ball as much. But I think the Titans win 2017. You know, again, how confident am I in that? Not too confident, but this is more of a heart pick than anything.
So you said 2017?
Yes. Titan wins 2017.
Okay. Oh. I'm taking the Chargers.
Wow.
I think that ultimately this game is going to come right down to the wire. I think it's all going to be about, you know, either who makes the play or who doesn't make the play. And I just don't have confidence in the Titans to make the play. I just don't. I just, there's something about maybe last week that's still, you know, stuck in my psyche about I do not trust the Titans. I think this is going to come right down to the wire. Titans are going to have a chance to win it at the end, whether it's defense like they did last week, letting, you know, the Saints run the clock out, or whether it's the offense not scoring a touchdown when they got down in the red zone late in a four-point game. I'm going to take the Chargers 22-20.
Hmm.
Or what was it? No, 24-22. That's why I picked on Friday.
Okay.
Chargers 24-22. The final. I just think the Titans.
How do you get 22?
How do you get 22?
Yeah.
You score a touchdown.
And you go for two.
Score another touchdown.
And go for two.
Score another touchdown. Then you go for two.
Okay.
Well, think about it.
You think the Titans?
I mean, you're correct in that. But yeah. That's an odd number, 22 in a game.
I'm
not saying you're wrong, 22. Jared. I'm just saying nobody ever picks, hey, man, the score's going to be 35 to 22.
22. Yeah, I'm just saying 24-22. That's going to be the final. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here again. Special thanks to Teddy's Tavern. We'll be back 9:30 next Sunday ahead of the Titans and the Browns. And, of course, we'll be breaking it down all week as well. This has been the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Peace.